the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, from corsetry to combat gear to trips to China, our next guests run a family brand that has been generations in the making. The Jack Murphy brand started with small beginnings, making corsets in the 1940s, and went to a thriving outdoor clothing business today. The family has weathered its fair share of storms and blizzards along the way. Well, I'm joined by two generations of Jack Murphy clothing, Michael Murphy and his daughter, Sarah. You're both very welcome.
Good morning.
To the programme. Michael, the business is named after your father, yes. Jack, and in fact, your logo has his signature on it. Great. What are your earliest memories of him?
My dad was probably, he was a great guy. He was larger than life. He loved sport. He won a Leinster Junior Cup medal with Belvedere when he was 14. He got a bad injury on his knee and had to give up rugby from there. From that, he continued playing cricket. He was a great swimmer and he loved golf.
And when the Second World War happened, he decided to join up. He joined the RAF.
Yes, he joined the RAF. He was working with a company called Leithams in Dublin, who were British owned, and they gave him leave of absence, and he joined the RAF for, I'd say, more adventure than.
And where would you at that time you'd go to London or Liverpool or Belfast
I think
to join?
He went to Belfast. Yeah,
he went up to Belfast to join, and he was stationed quite far away. He worked in radar.
He did. He was a radio officer. He worked. He was in India. He was in Burma. He was part of the occupying forces in Japan after the dreadful bomb. And one of his abiding memories of that was when he arrived, all the Japanese would step off the pavement and let them walk on. And 3 months later, when they were leaving, they were pushing the occupying forces off the pavement so they could walk on.
And things changed quickly.
Things had changed, yeah.
Sarah, you had a particular interest in that background from your granddad because you did a project on it.
I did, yeah. My history special topic in sixth year. I did it with Jack and I actually just really got on very well with him and it was a lovely kind of time. I was saying to Dad there recently, when we were doing it, I'd go in and say, like, I remember talking about being in Burma and I think he was at a speech by Lord Mountbatten and I said, what was that like? And he said, sure, he wasn't listening at all.
He wasn't blown away.
He wasn't blown away, no. But he, you know, he was great. I spent nearly every Sunday with them. When I was a kid, so it was, yeah, he was great to be around. He was lovely.
And Michael, when he got back then, sometime in the 40s, he decided to set up a business. Had there been business in the family or where did the idea come from?
Well, what happened was he came back and he went back in to work with Leithams, but then Leithams had acid strippers that came in, took over the company, made more money by selling the whole thing. So he set up his own corsetry business in Skerries, County Dublin, and that was more or less the 70s, not the 40s.
But he'd worked in Leithams up until then.
So he set up his own in the 70s. And then for you, you were growing up and he was building the business. Were you interested in the business? Were you interested in doing your own thing?
I was interested in business. I didn't know really what I wanted to do. But when he set it up, he knew I wasn't too happy with being, I was dabbling with accountancy and stuff like that. And he offered me, he said, would you like to come and work for me? And I said, I'd love that. So
what was that like? Was he a tough taskmaster?
Yeah, he was tough, yeah. But he was good as well.
I mean, Dad just told me outside there that he's only ever done one interview in his life.
Well, you're flying along with it, Michael.
Like job interview, I mean.
Yeah, he was tough, but he got involved in Skerries Rugby Club and he was one of the pioneers that set up youth rugby in Skerries. And what happened from that was basically no kid who wasn't in a rugby school could get the opportunity to play rugby. So my dad got that off the ground and youth rugby around Ireland got off the ground because of that. And the likes of Shane Horgan and Trevor Brennan and
So it had a longer impact.
They got the opportunity to play rugby for Ireland. They wouldn't have if youth rugby wasn't set up.
And Sarah, what about you then? At what point did you take an interest in joining the business?
I suppose me and my brother and sisters kind of grew up a little bit in it. Like if there was a big container and we'd be drafted into the warehouse to help devan it and go into Bloom and RDS Horse Show. And so I had an interest, and I've always liked fashion, but I didn't really know for sure until about, I think it was August 2018 that I officially joined. But in that summer, I was sort of kind of, we were chatting a lot about it.
And when you were growing up, the company had kind of shifted out of the traditional corsets and it had got into...
it was very much an outerwear brand.
And
then
it got into army surplus stuff as well.
That was Dad.
Tell it better. We set up, myself and my business partner noticed a niche in the market where back in the day, back in late 70s, early 80s, there was a German army parka, which was basically the school uniform all over the country.
I remember them very well. And it had that West German flag.
That's right, the West German flag on it.
They were really warm.
Yeah, fantastic garment. But we searched Europe to eventually find the auctioneers that sold the German army textile to whoever was willing to buy it. And they were the official agents for the German army. So from that, it's a long story, but to cut it short, we became one of those buyers. And
One of the times you were telling it, I didn't realise this, I thought you put in a bid by fax, and then you said it was by telex. Is it telex?
Telex.
Oh yes.
Remember telex?
That old piece of kit.
Yeah, you had to put in a bid by Wednesday at 12 o'clock, and you put in a bid for the weight of a lump of garments, and so we studied the old bids and we put in a higher bid, and than anyone else we thought would, and we got the garments, and we were going to supply the wholesalers of German army surplus clothing. But the original buyers closed in and got in touch with everyone and said, don't buy from these guys. So we had to go directly to the retailer.
So you travelled over, did you?
Yeah, we travelled over, and then we got the garments, ended up supplying the retailer, and from there it just
exploded. How many of these parka coats do you think you sold in Ireland?
In 1 year alone we sold 12,000. Yeah, and it kept on going. And from that, we recognised that Army and Navy stores also did camping and outdoor leisure wear, tents, rucksacks, sleeping bags, waterproof clothing.
So you were able to get into that sort of thing. So yeah. Were there a load of parkas in your house then, Sarah?
Not parkas, but like sleeping bags, tents. Like you can still see them when you go to Electric Picnic. There's always a Jack Murphy tent. And we all use the backpacks to go travelling, and all the rain gear, we would have worn all that. Even our school jackets, we would have worn Jack Murphy as well.
And Michael, you got into manufacturing your own clothing then. And
yes,
you would have been one of the first Irish companies to set up your own manufacturing in China.
Yes, we were. It was a big step.
What did you buy a factory, build a factory? How did that work?
What we did was we headhunted a guy who was working with one of our suppliers, and we sat down with him, and we made a business plan to invest in a factory. We had to set up a WOFE, a wholly owned foreign enterprise. And we picked a location, we rented a premises, we fitted it out with all the sewing machines, and we started manufacturing.
And the company grew, Sarah, really, and would have continued growing very well right through in the run-up to the boom and after the financial crash, because you actually opened up your own stores at that point in around 2010, 2011?
It was more concession stores. So it was concession stores within Arnott's and Rathwood and places like that. But yeah, I mean, realistically, even now, I would sometimes talk to people and a lot of people will have a Jack Murphy in their press or in their wardrobe, where they'll know Jack Murphy because they've worn it when they were younger. But it definitely did continue its growth for quite some time. And then probably in around 2010, 2011, it started to decline.
The recession was on anyway.
Yeah.
People were spending less. Unemployment was higher.
Yeah.
And Brexit would have been a big challenge as well, Michael,
huge,
was it?
Yeah.
It was huge, yeah, yeah.
In what way? Because you were selling a lot in the UK or you had a presence?
We were selling a lot in the UK and we had to set up two companies, one to service the Irish market, one to service the UK market. And we'd have stopped going into both warehousing facilities. Mm. And naturally, you can't get it right all the time. And you'd have stock in the UK that we needed for Ireland. And you'd stock in Ireland, you need it for the UK. And because of Brexit, there were duties and taxes involved. And it was just terrible.
And also, it was something like 70% of our customer base was in the UK, our retail customer base.
And this would have been mainly outdoor clothing?
It was more country clothing.
Equestrian.
Equestrian. Yeah, yeah. Some fashion boutiques, but very much leaning towards a classic heritage styling. And I think then Brexit hadn't even happened and they started to stop buying because they were just worried about what was happening, which is understandable. But with 70% of our market there, we literally everything fell out the bottom of it, really.
What was that like? It must have been a very tough time.
Horrendous.
Yeah, it was the worst.
Yeah, it was very, very tough.
Were you sort of cursing Boris Johnson and Michael Gove and all these guys? Were you throwing things at the television during the news when all this
was
going on?
Well, Sarah would say when we were driving over to the office, there was a lot of heavy breathing going on. But going back to your comment about Jack Murphy and the signature, I'd just like to tell you a story about back in late 80s, early 90s, my mother, when my dad had retired from work, saw an ad in Cleary's for him to... For some very good quality trousers. And she said, you go into Cleary's and you buy two pairs of trousers. So he said, OK, I'll do that. So off he went into Cleary's and he got the two pairs of trousers. And back in those days, you had to sign your Visa card. And he signed it and he handed it to the attendant. And the guy looked up and he says, are you the real Jack Murphy?
that was a nice moment for him.
He felt very proud, yes.
So when things started to tighten then, yeah, with Brexit, the company was, you were in serious trouble with all
serious
of that
trouble.
Turnover dropping off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had to liquidate, actually,
yeah,
at one,
yeah,
point, didn't you?
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah. Well,
my business partner and myself, I decided to buy the company and thought I could save it. It didn't happen. We had to liquidate. And what happened was we bought the brand from the liquidator. And then, as they say, like a phoenix from the ashes, came back up again.
And in terms of all of that new business model and the clothing range you do now, Sarah, has the business kind of learned from that experience? What are you doing differently now?
Well, we're certainly not holding the same amount of stock that we would have. And I think one of the big things that we tried to do was just really hone in on what we're really, really good at. And we've always made quality garments and we've always been really attentive to the female form. We're 80% women's wear. For our kind of brand, that's quite unusual. And I believe that comes from Dad's knowledge of underwear and corsetry and that understanding for so many years with Jack in his business, and then bringing that into our product now and really showcasing that and doing, you know, we spent a lot of money on photo shoots and working with really good quality.
Yeah, and looking at the website, you can see the way the marketing is done. And also there's a very strong play on heritage and Irish,
yeah,
heritage within the brand and,
yeah,
and the kind of clothing as well.
That absolutely. And that they, I mean, we make clothes that last a really long time. I spoke to a woman, this was when we were working out of the house. We were still in the very, very thick of it. And generally, you wouldn't do an e-commerce sale on the phone, but this woman was in her 80s and it was during COVID. She was based in Cork and she couldn't figure it out. So I talked her through it and I said to her at the end, she was buying her coat, and I said, she said, this is my second coat of this. It's a Malvern long waterproof coat. And she said she's buying her second. And she said to me, I said, how long have you had it, if you don't mind me asking? And she said, well, guess. And I was like, oh, so I went 10 years because I thought, you know, that's, and she went, no, 26.
26 years. Well, there you are. And the internet and internet sales, online sales are really important now.
Yeah.
One of the other things in the clothing business is influencers are very well-known people wearing stuff. Have you had some well-known names where you're...
We just saw one on the drive-in. Shania Twain wore one of our coats in Malahai Castle last night.
You just spotted it.
She's put diamantes on it. It's a tweed garment called the Pamela coat, and it actually looks cool with the diamantes on it.
So you're going to make the most out of that as well.
We'll try and get on to Shania and see what she can do for us.
And what about the future for the business now? Where would you like to take it?
Well, I think Sarah will answer that. But what I'd like to just say is that we are an Irish brand, and we are pushing to use as much Irish fabrics as possible. Mm. And we're buying a lot of tweed fabric out of Donegal, and we're pushing that area of the business. And we just see a future in overseas markets as well as at home. You can...
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that I found when I started was that we've always been a premium brand, and as an aspirational brand and in that premium space, and looking to the future. I mean, just recently it was very exciting. It was very special for us, but we've started, we're being sitting in the boutique in Adair Manor. So, you know, going down for the launch of that was pretty impressive. And, you know, we work with Kilkenny Design and Weavers of Ireland. And I think for what we're trying to do, it's a sustainable growth, and it's working with what we are very good at, but at the right pace. And so doing it, you know, broadening our domestic market, but also our international market.
And with online, international is a big possibility. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing traction internationally as well?
Yeah, well, my brother Matthew just joined last year, so he's taken over the e-commerce, and he's done phenomenal work in the last year on that. And it's still very much an Irish market that we're supplying, but then straight away you'll see the UK and the US are pretty high up in those numbers as well. So it's really exciting. It's quite nice to be excited about it from where we've come from. But it's really important, I think, to put the time and the effort and the dedication and also the love into the product once it's been made. You know, like that's where Dad's skill is product and design. And I just feel like if we can continue that in the sales and marketing, then we're doing something right.
Well, he's certainly taken it so far and been through many ups and downs as well. And well done on all of that. Sarah and Michael Murphy of Jack Murphy Brand.
Thank you very much
for joining us on the programme.